Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Nowhere Man. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
In July 1954, a nondescript-looking man arrived at Haneda Airport in Tokyo. It was a hot summer day, and to other travelers and staff, he just seemed like, well, an ordinary traveler. Until the man handed over his passport. In one swift action, this moment created a conspiracy, an investigation, and a bizarre international urban legend that became, well, almost out of this world. Literally. Today on Ghost Town, the mystery man from Torrid, or as some have called him, the man from nowhere. So this man, he has a sketch composite out that you can find very easily online. Looks a lot like, again, just kind of an average white guy. It reminded me very quickly of D.B. Cooper, if you've seen that sketch of him, very famous kind of glasses hat. But again, just kind of a Caucasian male, middle-aged features. This man arrives at Haneda Airport in Tokyo, Japan. And again, he looks utterly unremarkable. You can check out photos. Caucasian, wearing a suit, traveling like everyone else at an international airport, as one does. The primary language of the man, according to the story, is French. Okay, normal too. Like all the other passengers at the airport, the man makes his way to customs. Still normal, right? But then all that changes. The man goes through immigration and hands the immigration officers a passport. It looks legit-ish until they see the man's country of origin, a place called Torrid. T-A-U-R-E-D. The immigration officers pass the passport back and forth, puzzled. They've seen it all, people from everywhere, until now. As far as those immigration officers at the airport were aware, Torrid was not a country that existed in the area, or Greater Asia, or anywhere on Earth. When questioned, the mysterious passenger asserted to them that he was, in fact, from Torrid. But of course, the immigration officers were like, "No, you're not," and detained the man, who became increasingly frustrated with his situation. He insisted to them that Torrid did exist and had for nearly 1,000 years, that it was a respected and established nation. He reacted as if the airport attendees were crazy and looked visibly shaken by what they were asking. When asked by officials where Torrid was, the man pointed to the Pyrenees, essentially showing them the modern-day location of Andorra, a real and very tiny country that's been around since the 1200s. Still more dissonance, of course, as that area of land was already taken and definitely not called Torrid. The man was also carrying currencies of different countries, saying he'd made many trips internationally and had never had a problem before. The mystery man then shared other details of his life, like the company where he worked and the hotel where he would be staying in Japan. Furthermore, the man claimed he'd done business in Japan before, and he was, again, completely shocked that immigration was giving him a hard time. His reaction was reasonable if he was telling the truth. Or was it? Japanese officials had never encountered this type of situation, and I'd imagine they haven't since. Believing, perhaps, that this strange man may be some kind of criminal, Japanese officers put him up at a nearby hotel for the night while they conducted a more thorough investigation. Two guards were stationed outside the man's room to make sure he didn't escape. Yet, the next morning, officers knocked on the door. Nothing. They spoke through the door asking to speak to the man. And still nothing. Soon they entered. Shocked, they found that the strange man from Torrid had vanished without a trace. The guards never saw him leave, the door had never been opened, the windows were sealed shut. The hotel room was on a high floor with no balcony or way of jumping from the room. The man's personal belongings, such as his strange passport, wallet, briefcase, etc., had also all vanished. No one ever saw that man again. He was just gone. Japanese officials did some digging on the man. The company for which he claimed to work had never heard of him, and the hotel at which he claimed to have booked a reservation at never received one from him. It's as if this man who didn't exist had slipped away from Japan, the situation, and maybe even this dimension. Or so the story goes. The story of the man from Torrid has inspired many theories about what actually happened that summer in Japan, before the collective culture eventually landed on some idea of the truth. Yes, there will be some closure to this podcast, kind of, but I'm getting ahead of myself. Some believe the man from nowhere was all hoax or urban legend, a kind of kernel of truth that started as a drunken bar story, a retelling of someone's dream, or an urban myth that got juicier every time it was shared. Think of it as kind of like the Mandela effect, but with a very strange passport. Some people think the man from Torrid had some kind of mental illness, one where he fully believed he was from a country that didn't exist. Schizophrenia or dissociative identity disorder could explain the confidence and detail in his answers. And maybe the passport was forged or altered. To reflect his internal reality. But of course, this doesn't explain how he vanished from a guarded room. Still, others think that this story showcases the possibility of a government cover-up. That the man knew something, or that he was some kind of threat to national security. That the authorities knew his whereabouts and what he knew, and he had to be taken care of. Then there are those who think this is kind of an ET story, that the man in question was a confused alien, lost on a different planet, disoriented, and even taken back up to some kind of mothership when he was detained in the hotel room. But the most popular theory, and also probably the most exciting, aside from, you know, aliens, is something called the parallel universe theory. Several components to the story of the man from Torrid have led some conspiracy theorists to the conclusion that the man had hailed from another dimension, a different universe, and he had somehow punctured the veil, winding up in our present or current universe. One piece of evidence is the country of Torrid itself. And again, that's T-A-U-R-E-D. I'm not sure if I'm saying right, but doesn't matter. It's not real. When presented with a map and asked to point out the country, the man is said to have pointed to Andorra, between Spain and France, and the man spoke French. The man was getting increasingly annoyed that his home country of Torrid was not listed on this map, but he seemed as though he knew exactly where it was, and even his language reflected that, as French is spoken near and around that area. The man is also said to have had currency from several European countries on his person, and stamps from airports around the globe. He had even visited Tokyo on several previous occasions, he claimed, without incident. His company, however, the place that he worked, never heard of him, and his reservation did not exist at his hotel. It's as if this man had a whole other life, a legitimate one, one fairly close to the one he was leading now. Dangerously close, but not quite. Additionally, the man supposedly had various documents that supported his story. They, of course, vanished in the hotel room. Then, of course, there's his inexplicable disappearance from his hotel room. Did he escape back to his previous dimension and get back on track with the life he claimed he had? Otherwise, how could he have left without a trace? All of these details had led many to the conclusion that the man had accidentally crossed into our dimension from a parallel one. How? Of course, I'm not sure. But in this parallel universe, Torrid maybe really did exist, and the man was telling the truth about his whole life. And then, somehow, he slid back into his home universe from that hotel room and was able to get back to his trip to Japan. It's an incredibly bizarre and compelling mystery, unbelievably so, some might say. But as it turns out, there was a real man from nowhere at that airport who had much more than a mysterious passport. He had a wife, a life in this universe, and even a criminal record. More after this break. Despite the lack of details and concrete reporting on the man from Torrid was actually a real person, a jumping-off point, really, for the story I told before the break, which really was inspired by a real-life incident. It likely, and probably disappointingly, however, doesn't actually include a rip in the time-space continuum. According to Snopes, The man from Torrid's story is, quote, a greatly embellished and fantastical version of the far less sensational real story. Apologies, everyone. As exciting as the idea of a visitor from another dimension could be, the reality is that the real-life man from Torrid was a common con artist. Of course, that means that there is a real story, which is fairly exciting in and of itself. There's a considerable amount of evidence to suggest that the true identity of the man from Torrid was a man named John Allen Zegras, of the same description, white, professionally dressed, average-looking, who was arrested in Tokyo in 1960 for trying to cash phony checks after using a false passport to get into the country. On July 29, 1960, a debate in the British House of Commons about passport forgery referred to the case of John Allen Zegras, and is, of course, a big point of fact, a big point of research, for the whole Man from Nowhere story. The documents in the House of Commons said that he was an intelligence agent and a naturalized Ethiopian. This man, again according to the evidence, had traveled all over the world with a very impressive-looking passport indeed. The passport does not look like a normal passport and is in fact written in a language unknown, and had remained unidentified. The House member continued describing Zegras' passport as seemingly issued in a city of Tamanroset, the capital of the state of Torrid, which Zegras claimed was an independent state of roughly 2 million people south of the Sahara. Of course, it wasn't. The debate in the House of Commons illustrated how easily passports could be forged, though, you know, a fake country does seem a pretty inelegant way of doing it. The Vancouver-based paper The Province also reported on Zegras at the time, writing, quote, Mr. Zegras wanted to travel around the world. To impress officials, he invented a nation, a capital, a people, and a language. All these he recorded on a passport which he made himself. According to the report, Zegras was able to travel all across the world successfully using his Torridite, who's keeping track? Nobody's passport. His fake passport. His fake homemade passport. When people doubted his documentation, he invited them to read a small proclamation stamped beneath the national symbol of Torrid, which read, quote, Rich Ubwe Orktra Neguzi Habesi Trap Toropa. This saying is complete gibberish. I would love to find a photo of this passport. I could not in my research, but if you come across one, please let us know. I need to see it. It wasn't until Zegras tried to visit Tokyo in October 1959 that his passport was finally flagged, and his formerly convincing shtick did not fly. Zegras had entered Japan with his Korean wife, but while in the country, he had had some financial issues that caused him to cash roughly 200,000 yen, that's $1,406, worth of counterfeit checks at various Tokyo banks. He also told Japanese citizens that he was in the CIA and the FBI, working in Japan on orders from a, quote, Arab-related organization. Sources at the time also noted that Zegras' passport, while stamped by Japanese embassies in different East Asian countries, quote, was the size of a weekly magazine and was recognizable at a glance as fake. Again, if anyone knows of a photo of this passport, I would love to see it. Maybe some countries had let it fly beforehand, but Japanese officials didn't play that way. They knew that there was no country called Torrid, and that this guy was suspicious as hell, cashing bad checks and claiming to be part of the American Secret Service. Though The Province referred to Zegras as, quote, a martyr to Japanese thoroughness, it feels kind of like a slam dunk for the Japanese police, in my humble opinion. The case was investigated by Atsuyuki Sasa of the Tokyo Metropolitan Police Department, Public Security Bureau, who would later write about Zegras in his memoirs. Of course he would. According to the records, Zegras told Sasa that he was, quote, born in the U.S., moved to the U.K. through Czechoslovakia and Germany, and attended high school there. During World War II, he was a pilot of the Royal Air Force and was once captured by the Germans. After the war, he said, he had lived in Latin America. Later, he became a spy for the Americans in South Korea, served as a pilot in Thailand and Vietnam, and after that, he worked for the United Arab Republic. He was in Japan for a top-secret mission, he said, which included recruiting Japanese military volunteers for the United Arab Republic. Whew, I know, I'm exhausted just reading that rip-off James Bond story, but I digress. Eventually, after contacting the mentioned countries and doing their due diligence, Sasa and his men discovered that the information Zegras told him was not based on any facts, and the seals in his fake passport were proven to be fabricated. According to the reports, Zegras, when sentenced to 1 year of imprisonment by the Tokyo District Court on charges of illegal entry and fraud, reportedly shouted, "I'm going to kill myself," and slashed his arms with pieces of a broken glass bottle he had kept hidden from sight. Perhaps the most surprising component of Zegras' story, however, is that he never actually spent any time in prison. By the time all was said and done, the number of days he'd already spent in detention counted towards his sentence, and he actually served more days than he should have, so he was released on time served. His mental health at that point? Well, I can't comment on that. I couldn't find anything, unfortunately. Ultimately, it's reported that Zegras left Japan to start, quote, a new life in a new country. No one ever learned where he really came from or who he really was. And after the whole fraud thing, his name never reappeared in any significant historical way, as far as I could find. So, as John Allen Zegras faded into obscurity, his out-there story, well, it did the opposite. It evolved, traveled across the world, traveled across time, and made the tale of a bad yet creative con artist into a parallel universe mystery. A darkly compelling case of a vanishing, an alluring urban legend, or an extra-dimensional human in our world, if but for a brief time. Honestly, if I was Zegras, I might actually be proud of how far, if not myself, my story had traveled.